From NPR and WBUR, I'm Scott Tong in Washington.
And I'm Peter O'Dowd, standing near the Copper Dome of the Arizona State Capitol. It's Here and Now. And the reason I'm in downtown Phoenix today is because this city, like so many others across the country, cannot seem to escape from a housing crisis. Not far from where I am now, about 1,000 people are living on the sidewalk. They're under tents and tarps and a makeshift encampment known around here as the Zone.
Devil busy, because they keep getting you. Still kill and destroy out here in this Zone.
Gwendolyn Blevins lives in the neighborhood within sight of the shimmering office towers of downtown. There's about a dozen tents set up near the front door of her apartment. Someone's gospel music is playing in the background.
Struggle is real. It is. You got to be strong-minded to survive in this place.
For years, this neighborhood has attracted people in need of help. The state's largest homeless shelter is nearby. There's also a place to get a hot meal, a clinic to see a doctor. But recently, something has changed. Across the city, homelessness is up 46% since 2019, and the number of people living here in this neighborhood has grown dramatically. Block after block, there are tents and wheelbarrows, shopping carts and couches, coolers and clotheslines.
It needs to be clear, you know, especially for those who don't want to act right. If you're in here to commit crimes, then you need to be out of here.
Where would they go?
They can go anywhere but out of here.
And soon, they'll have to go. The city has a court-ordered deadline to clean up the Zone by July 10th. It's a dreaded time of year for people who live unsheltered against the fury of the summer sun. Tebe Monyamini knows the peril well.
Good morning. Is it okay if we slide past you?
Oh, no problem. No.
Thank you.
No problem.
We met at a medical respite center inside the Zone run by a nonprofit called Circle the City. Last year, 425 people died from heat exposure in Maricopa County, and Monyamini was nearly one of them. He got out of the hospital 8 months ago and has been recovering here ever since.
AFib, I got AFib. Sometimes the heart will poof, 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 so quick, and I think I'm dead. And my chest pain could be killing me.
Yeah. And it does feel like if you just check his pulse, mm-hmm. It's irregular, so I'm guessing he is back in fib right now.
Okay.
Monyamini says he's had heat stroke 4 times in the decade that he's lived outdoors. Each time, his heart grows weaker.
And the fourth stroke is when the fluids went in my heart, and I stopped walking that day. I couldn't control my blood pressure. This is the only place able to control my blood pressure.
When his heart is stable, Monyamini will leave the respite center and likely move to the shelter next door.
Thank you, Jesus. They helped me.
But respite nurse Tara Ankara says the clinic will get busier as July approaches.
The heat makes everything more unbearable. Patients are going to be sicker.
Ankara sees no reason why this year's death toll will be any lower. In fact, she says the judge's order to clean up the camp could make it worse.
We have all these tents here because there is access to medical care nearby. If you're out, spread out, you don't have that nearby, and that's just a recipe for disaster and for death, honestly.
Which makes me think it's a tough problem, because there's a lot of people who see those tents and like, actually they're awful, they're terrible, we don't like that, we don't want that. You're saying it's actually a good thing because they can get the help that they need.
Right, that's the tension between the general public, you know, the not in my backyard folks who are like, we all understand it's a problem, but I don't want the problem here.
There's human tragedy going on, left and right.
If anyone has a not in my backyard argument to make, it's Joel Copeland. He and his wife are artists. Their gallery and their home are in the middle of the Zone. When I visited, he showed me a video that he took on his cell phone in February. From his balcony, Copeland saw a man pleading with police, a body on the ground in front of them.
Right now, right now. Him, him, him right here. Him, please. Hey, hey, bro. Hey, bro.
Fires and death and shootings, and there's a lot down here that needs to be taken care of, and I was hoping to make people aware of what's happening through these paintings.
And yet it's affecting your life and your livelihood as well.
True. We've become part of it. We've become part of the neighborhood.
Copeland is one of several business owners that have sued the city, claiming Phoenix encouraged people to congregate downtown by failing to enforce the laws against camping and drug use. Copeland says he doesn't blame his new neighbors. As we walk through the gallery, he shows me portraits of people who've passed through here.
There's Rosie. She's an old friend. She lived here for almost a year. before she got her apartment down on 209.
On another canvas, Copeland has painted a woman who's been using drugs. She's trying desperately to break through a line of police and paramedics. He remembers the night it happened right outside his door.
And the cops all jumped on her and put her down to the ground, and she was screaming, "I was almost there! I was almost there!" And the EMT guys came with their little needle, and they said, "I was almost there! I was almost there! I was almost there! I was almost there! Almost there! Almost there!" And then she was there. And they picked her up, and they put her on the stretcher, and they put her in the ambulance and drove her away. And I thought, almost there. We're almost there. We're almost ready to deal with the problem. I don't want to almost be there. I want to be there. I want the problem to be solved. You know, I want the...
That must have been a striking experience.
It always is. I'm hoping for relief. Chances are it's just going to go on and on. But it's a vast problem, and it needs to have a big, forward-thinking solution.
Copeland's lawsuit isn't the only one. The ACLU brought a federal case last year. A judge ordered the city to stop sweeping campsites if there is no indoor shelter available. And that is exactly the problem, according to Rachel Milne.
We are functionally full in our shelter beds in the city of Phoenix every night.
Milne runs the city's Office of Homeless Solutions.
Our infrastructure was not prepared for the huge increase in homelessness that we've received. So, and I think that that's what cities across the country are dealing with as well.
Milne says the city has added about 600 new shelter beds in the past year, and 800 more are on the way. She says they've already voluntarily cleared more than 100 people from the zone and offered them a temporary place to stay indoors. Plus, she says, the city is close to announcing a plan for a structured outdoor campground with shade, bathrooms, and security, none of which exists now in the zone.
So what will it look like there on July 11th?
It will look a lot better than it looks now. We're going to continue our efforts. We're going to enhance our efforts. So we're going to do as much as we possibly can.
Will there still be camps?
There could possibly be camps.
Meanwhile, none of this goes to the root of the problem. In Metro Phoenix, housing prices have soared. Nearly 30% of people who live in apartments spend more than half of their paycheck on rent. The line between home and homelessness is razor thin.
Any belly pain?
Yeah.
Back in the zone, Dr. Mark Bueno with Circle the City has parked a mobile medical clinic on the street. His patients come filing in.
Can I press stop?
Yeah.
Discomfort when I'm doing that?
A little bit.
Okay.
A lot of people are talking about what the solution to this problem is, and I know you're a doctor, but you're here. I wonder what your opinion is on what we do about this.
Yeah, you know, they come and see me for medical issues, but I truly believe that this is a housing issue. They're not on the street because of their heart disease. They're out of here because they can't afford a house.
The majority of people living without shelter in Phoenix are young white men, though a disproportionate number are black. Jamie Barenberg is one of the few women I found in the zone. She says her ex-boyfriend kicked her out about a year ago, and she hasn't had shelter since.
If they're going to sweep the tents away, they need to have actual affordable low-income housing. I mean, where are we going to go? We're not already supposed to be camping. It already is illegal for it to be happening. But so is discrimination for low-income housing.
If the city asks her to move into a shelter in July, she'll refuse.
It's a jail inside. The homeless shelter is actually a jail. Like, I don't want to be in there.
What's life like here for you?
Stressful. I mean, there's some really good people. They're the Lord's people, but... there's also heathens here, too, so there's that.
Today, there is compassion. Monica Rico from the mobile unit is kneeling at Barenberg's side.
I'm just cleaning her feet. She has some blisters from walking in the street.
I normally cut her toenails.
Are you serious?
Yeah, oh. I do all of that. You want me to cut yours? I can cut them for you. I have all the tools. Okay. Let me go get them.
Barenberg wears a rosary around her neck. She's near tears, and it dawns on both of us that this scene on the streets of Phoenix reflects an ancient story from the Bible.
It's nice that people are being Christ-like. It's nice.
Jesus washing the feet.
Yep, definitely.
The water is warm, and just for a moment, it washes her burden away.